Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All right, welcome and thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. You are listening to a special studio session. We are coming to you live, as always, from the back of Roberta's Pizza in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. And we are excited today because we are kicking off Peanut Butter Month. And in studio to help us with the celebration, we have Lee Zalbin, founder and president of Peanut Butter & Co. Lee, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Happy National Peanut Month.
I know. I'm excited because I'm actually, Lee, you're so generous, brought in like a stack of peanut butters for us to take back to the office, and I wish I had a spoon right now, I'm going to be honest.
You could use your finger.
It's radio, no one's watching.
Everybody does it.
Nobody has to know. So, Lee, you grew up in Philadelphia, you did your undergraduate at Vassar, and you know, you were always, what I heard is you were always a fierce competitor, but like full of wacky ideas. So I'm curious, you know, obviously you didn't, you know, study, you know, peanut butter economics in undergrad, but what did you think you were going to be doing during your undergrad?
Well, I grew up in a family full of small business owners and, you know, full of small entrepreneurs. My grandfather on my mother's side had had his own business. My grandmother on my father's side was actually the largest kosher caterer in Philadelphia at one point. So I grew up around people that were, you know, sort of doing things. And food was, you know, always part of life and family. But when I went to school, I actually wanted to work in publishing. I wanted to start a magazine. I moved to New York after school. I got a job at a publishing company. I got a master's in publishing. And, you know, after a few years in that journey, I just realized that that wasn't for me. It just, you know, it wasn't what I wanted. But I was really, you know, I had spent so much time in restaurants taking clients out and, you know, and, you know, so I kind of had this inclination. I always knew I wanted to do something for myself. I wanted to own my own business. And, you know, the idea of doing something in food started to get closer and closer.
So what happened? How did you make the jump from publishing to peanut butter?
Publishing to peanut butter. So when I was in college, my friends and I, my roommates and I actually would have these late night study breaks where we would see who could come up with the craziest but best tasting peanut butter sandwich. We were four college students living on their own for the first time in a campus apartment. And we would go to the supermarket and we were very adventurous shoppers. We were foodies before the word foodie was a word. And we would buy all kinds of things like carob chips and dried apricot and shredded coconut and, you know, pesto paste and, you know, all of these things that we dreamed of making these feasts at home. And, you know, every night it was just too easy to order pizza or Chinese food. And so we had these totally stocked cupboards that we never used, except in the middle of the night while we were studying for exams or working on papers, we would just sort of all stop. And one of our parents had given us a bread maker. So we always had really good fresh bread that we did bother to make every day.
You were like a foodie crew. I don't know any undergrad who had a bread maker.
And so we would have these contests, and I always won. I was always the peanut butter sandwich king of the apartment. And I just thought, wouldn't it be great if there was a place where you could go and order any kind of peanut butter sandwich that you could dream up? And then I moved to New York. I worked in publishing, kind of realized that wasn't for me, and was literally just walking around Greenwich Village one day, came across this boarded up storefront that right near NYU, right near Soho, and it just clicked, you know, that's where my peanut butter shop should be. And I found out who the owner of the building was. I kind of just called to, you know, I was already doing a business plan in my head of how many peanut butter sandwiches a day do I have to sell in order to afford this place. I found out what the rent was. the real estate agent didn't have anything to do that day, so he asked me to, you know, he said, hey, do you want to come down? I'll buy a cup of coffee. So I went down, I saw the space, and the moment I walked in, I knew it. This is where the counter will be. This is where the, you know, soda fountain will be. This is where we'll make the egg creams. This is where we'll make the peanut butter. It was instantaneous. And the next day I quit my job, and I took some freelance work while I wrote a business plan and learned everything I could about peanuts and peanut butter and what it would be like to own a restaurant in New York City.
So I definitely grew up eating a lot of peanut butter. I think because my mom was pregnant for the first 10 years of my life, that peanut butter played a really strong role in my family. We had peanut butter with everything, peanut butter and cheese sandwiches, peanut butter and like sprouts, peanut butter and honey, bananas. It really ran the gamut. What were kind of some of the wacky combinations you had on the menu when you first started?
Well, the menu has grown a little bit, but it's pretty much stayed intact. And what we're sort of all about at our sandwich shop is, you know, kind of bringing out classic flavor combinations like peanut butter and marshmallow fluff, or peanut butter and chocolate, peanut butter and different kinds of jam and jelly, but then also some of the more unexpected ones. Like our most popular sandwich is called the Elvis, and that's a peanut butter, banana, and bacon sandwich that we sweeten with a little bit of honey. And that's based on a sandwich that Elvis Presley himself actually ate. And, you know, everyone's serving everything with bacon these days, but in 1998, it wasn't so. And when we started serving a peanut butter, banana, and bacon sandwich, people really took notice and were like, wow, that's a flavor combination that maybe I've heard about, but I've definitely never tried before.
And I'm assuming it's pretty good because it's still on the menu more than, you know, 10 years later, right?
Absolutely. It's our top-selling sandwich.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Everyone wants to come in and rock an Elvis at Peanut Butter and Company.
Who can blame them? Elvis is the king. So I'm curious, you know, you decide to open a peanut butter shop. Did the making peanut butter and opening up the shop, did that happen at the same time, or did that come later?
Yes, actually. So before we opened, I always knew that, you know, making our own peanut butter was really important for us. We didn't want to serve something that was just mass market, what you could buy in, you know, anywhere. So we started with grinders, and we started buying peanuts, and we started, you know, I would have, you know, little meetings/parties of my friends in my apartment before we opened, just making different kinds of peanut butter and saying, you know, here, taste this, too salty, too sweet, too chocolatey, too cinnamon, you know. And from the very beginning, we wanted to push the envelope and go beyond smooth and crunchy. So we actually now make 10 different flavors of peanut butter. We make a smooth operator, crunch time, cinnamon raisin swirl, white chocolate wonderful, dark chocolate dreams, mighty maple, bee's knees, heat is on, our spicy peanut butter. We have two old fashioned varieties. I think I named them all. I probably forgot one.
I got kind of just like lost in the, like a series of peanut butter fantasies over here.
So as a kid, I was always monkeying with my peanut butter. I was always adding cinnamon or chocolate chips or, you know, different things to it to try and, you know, make it more fun and exciting and tasty. And then I would spread that on a bagel or on toast or on a waffle. So, you know, we, from the beginning, we started making different flavors of peanut butter, and, you know, grinding it on our own in our shop, and then serving it in sandwiches. And then we started selling jars of it in our shop as well.
So, you know, now I think in the city, it's, I guess you could call it a trend to have like a, you know, more or less like a single item shop, you know, the meatball shop, the mac and cheese shop, the, you know, burger, pizza, they've always been around. But I think in 1998, when you guys opened that, like, that wasn't a thing. It wasn't like you were like, man, we're going to be the best peanut butter sandwich shop in the city. You guys were kind of the only peanut butter shop in the city, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was us, and there were, you know, the chicken wing guys who, you know, pretty much only serve chicken wings, and there are one or two like Belgian French fry places. Other than that, we were the first to kind of say one ingredient. We just want to do it best, like nobody else, and give you an experience with this particular food that you're not going to find anywhere else.
So today, if I hop into the shop, you have the 10 flavors of peanut butter. Mm-hmm. But how does it work to order? I mean, you have like set sandwiches that you guys have composed. But then can I say, like, I want dark chocolate dreams on one half, crunch time on the other, whole wheat on the top, white on the bottom.
We don't do half sandwiches. sure. We have about 20 different sandwiches that we've created. Some are classics. Some are newfangled. So like our spicy peanut butter with grilled chicken and pineapple jam. Is a really great sandwich. I love that one toasted, actually. So we have our classics, and we have our newfangled sandwiches, and then you can customize any of them. You could add bacon. You could, you know, change the flavor of peanut butter that we have in it. You can do all sorts of things. Toast it. Cut the crusts off. We just don't make half sandwiches.
Yeah, I've worked for another deli that didn't make half sandwiches, and I support your decision. So you guys, you know, we're making peanut butter in-house. You started kind of jarring and selling it in-house. But I think eventually you kind of outgrew that market. So can we talk a little bit about, or not that market, but that system? What was the jump like from, you know, just having stuff in the store to making the launch into a retail market with the peanut butters?
So we had a local retailer, Dean and DeLuca, who insisted on carrying our peanut butter in their store just a few blocks away on Broadway in Soho. And they, you know, literally would not take no for an answer. And it's funny because I'm still friendly with the woman who was the buyer at the time, who, you know, is now works for a much larger food company. And, you know, she sort of, it's a point of pride for her that she was the one who made me start selling to, you know, other people. So in the beginning, we would, you know, essentially have like a staff lock-in at 11 o'clock at night. We would just, you know, bring all our staff back after the restaurant closed. We would, you know, turn up all the lights, lock the doors, have three or four grinders going. We'd have people, you know, cutting out labels, people glue sticking labels, people with safety seals, people with hair dryers, you know, putting the safety seals on, mixing peanut butter, filling jars. And we, you know, just did it all in-house for about a year. And we started selling to Dean and DeLuca, and then to about maybe about 20 other local gourmet food shops. And then we just realized that, you know, we really had a business here and we really had an opportunity. And so we built a small peanut butter factory in Brooklyn, actually, in Greenpoint. And we made our peanut butter there for a few years when we sort of officially launched at the Fancy Food Show in 2003 in New York City. And very quickly, we started to work with Whole Foods and some regional grocery chains like Stop and Shop and people like that. And then in 2005, 2006, we started working with Kroger nationally. And we sort of leapfrogged over all of our economies of scale, all of our planning. All of a sudden, we just didn't have enough capacity. So we looked at the possibility of, you know, building a larger peanut butter plant in New York City. But at the time, we started to get really conscious of food miles. I mean, it's not something people talk about quite so much, but at that moment in time, it was all that anyone was talking about. And we became really conscious of the fact that we were, you know, buying peanuts that were being grown in Georgia. We were shipping them all the way up to New York City. And then in a lot of cases, we were just turning around and sending them right back down to stores in the South that we were selling to. And we just decided that, you know, that there had to be a better way. And we were fortunate enough to find a plant that had some excess capacity. And that was sort of really interested in this New York City boy who was putting weird stuff in peanut butter, and they just thought it was really interesting. So we found an arrangement where we could go in and make our peanut butter in this world-class plant and, you know, not give up any of the quality, hold on to our recipes. And really fantastic, and it's allowed us to grow so that now we're in 2013, we're sold in over 15,000 stores in the U.S., which is a long way from just selling to one Dean and DeLuca in New York City.
Yeah, kudos. So that's a lot of peanuts. Where do the peanuts come from?
Well, all of our peanuts are grown right here in the USA. That's really important to us. You know, and every jar of peanut butter and company peanut butter has the Quality USA logo on it, which is our commitment, our contract with America's peanut farmers that we only use USA grown peanuts. In fact, about 90 to 95% of the peanuts that we use come from within a, 200 mile radius of our plant in Georgia, which it's the heart of peanut country. So it makes sense. Sometimes, you know, we might pull some in from Texas or some in from somewhere else. But almost all of the peanuts are coming right from South Georgia.
You heard it here first. Made in the USA peanut butter.
Grown in the USA.
Made in the made and grown in the USA. Peanut butter and co. Well, you are tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back to continue our celebration of Peanut Butter Month.
You're listening to Spreadin' Honey by the California Honey Drops on heritageradionetwork.org.
What you want when you get up in the morning, 'cause it won't be long before you're dead and gone.
Yeah,
no, there ain't no telling. Yeah, we all just bet, just playing our hands till the last stand. So tell your mama you've been spreading honey, won't you? Tell your brother you've been spreading honey, won't you? Tell your sister you've been spreading honey. Honey too, oh won't they come along and spread some honey too.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
All right, we are back celebrating Peanut Butter Month at the Heritage Radio Network studios. We are in studio with Lee Zelbin of Peanut Butter & Co. talking nuts. So before the break, we found out that all the peanuts in your peanut butter are grown in the USA, which is awesome. And one of the things I think with peanut butter, people are always like sweetened, unsweetened, you know, is it, you know, I'm just wondering where you guys stand, between like the stuff you're going to find with a layer of oil on top at the health food store and Jiffy, like what really sets your peanut butter apart?
Well, we make 10 varieties of peanut butter, and two of them are actually what we called old-fashioned. So we have something called old-fashioned smooth and old-fashioned crunchy, and that's just peanuts and a tiny bit of salt, which brings out the natural sweetness from in the peanuts. Those products are sold mostly on our website, in our shop, and at a few retailers here in New York City. In the beginning, that's actually all that we sold. But the market has really changed in natural peanut butter. And I think that the consumers that are buying natural have sort of woken up to the fact that it's kind of confusing because there's natural peanut butter, which is what people think of as just peanuts and salt. And then there's what we call no-stir natural, which is a peanut butter which has been stabilized with something that is all natural, meaning not partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, and something that has usually been sweetened, which means not with high fructose corn syrup. So our no-stir natural, Smooth Operator and Crunch Time, are sweetened with some evaporated cane juice, and they are stabilized with a little bit of palm fruit oil.
So that means I don't have to spend my morning stirring my peanut butter. I can just get right to the business of putting it on my toast.
Exactly. So it's the taste that most people grew up with, but a little bit more healthy for you.
And so I'm just curious. I wonder, like, how competitive is the peanut butter market? I mean, where are you positioned now? You're obviously available at grocery stores and fine food retailers and, you know, at your shop. But how do you who's your peanut butter customer versus, like, the Jif or the Peter Pan? Or, like, why are we, I don't know. I like what I'm just curious. I'm like, why do people choose you? I mean, the jars are fun. The ingredients are great. I mean, I guess we're kind of, I'm answering my own question here, but.
Well, think about it this way. I think for 75 years since peanut butter has been a, you know, sort of staple in American homes, almost all peanut butter has been formulated, packaged, and marketed specifically for mom to buy for her kids and for her family. And I think that what we realized with our sandwich shop was that adults eat more peanut butter than kids every day. And that is a fact. So no one was producing a product that would appeal to adults as well as kids. It was always just for the kids, and the adults were just sneaking some. So Peanut Butter and Company was the first peanut butter to really go out there and say, hey, you can buy this for yourself, and we're going to give you a more healthful formula. We're going to give you a fun package, and we're going to give you great flavors that you're craving and that maybe you're kind of making at home on your own, but that we're going to do all the work for you, and we're going to put it into a jar so it's easy and convenient, and you can eat it in a PB&J, or you can spread it on toast, or you can have it on a strawberry, or you can eat it with an apple, or you could bake with it, or you could put it into a sauce or a soup or a stew. We've, you know, come up with all of these great flavors.
I know, I've definitely busted my roommate late at night with a spoonful of the dark chocolate dream. There's always a can of that in our pantry at home. You actually wrote a peanut butter cookbook, right?
That's right. In 2005, we worked with Quirk Books, and we published the Peanut Butter and Company cookbook, which I think is something like 88 recipes using our peanut butter and to make all sorts of things, from after school snacks to desserts to breakfast items to tons of sandwiches.
Now in its fourth printing, so pick it up, folks. And then you do an. Are you still doing the weekly column on Serious Eats?
Yes. Yeah, I've had a little bit of a sabbatical the last few months because we've had so many things going on. But yeah, I've been writing that for a few years, and look for some new posts very soon.
Awesome. And then now I heard you guys are getting into the TV market. Is that right?
Well, you know, you asked before, is peanut butter competitive? And yes, it's very competitive. You know, and it's funny. We used to call it in the trade the peanut butter set, but now more and more it's being called the nut butter set, because there's so much innovation and there's so many new things coming out, from spreads made with almonds and cashews and hazelnuts to, you know, now new products with other flavors and different things like that. So what we found is that we sort of created this sort of flavored peanut butter category. And over the last year, a bunch of the larger companies have started to play in this area in some different ways. Some of them are doing some chocolate hazelnut spreads, and some of them are doing some things with peanuts and peanut butter and some other things. And we just kind of got to a point where we realized that, you know, we needed to sort of redefine who we were for our customers and for retailers. So our Taste Amazing TV campaign started running in a few regions a few weeks ago, and it is launching on Monday with Cooking Channel nationally. And we have this really fun sweepstakes that we're doing with them. Taste Amazing. That's you know, our rallying cry. We think that Peanut Butter and Company brings some really terrific flavors into people's lives. So we invite everyone to Taste Amazing, and you can see the spots on our website or on our YouTube channel.
Cool. And now we are just about out of time, but I did want to talk. You know, you guys do a fair amount of community-based work, charitable work. And I want to give you a chance mm-hmm. to share some of your like kind of favorite organizations and talk a little bit about that aspect of your company.
Well, thanks. You know, I do a lot of interviews, and I don't think I ever get asked that question. So, I mean, personally, one of my favorite organizations that I support personally, not so much through Peanut Butter and Company, is Kiva, which supports entrepreneurs in the developing world. And I think I've been a part of, I want to say, 300 or 400 loans at this point. I put a little bit of money in a few years ago, and I just keep rolling it over. So as those loans get paid back, I just keep putting it right back into the system. And Kiva is a really amazing organization. I love what they do. But Peanut Butter and Company works with a number of different groups. JDRF for diabetes is a group that we've, you know, been involved with and worked with in a bunch of different ways. We've worked with a lot of organizations here in New York, like Central Park and the Botanical Gardens in the Bronx, and, you know, with all kinds of fundraisers and special events. And, you know, Adam is probably laughing as you our PR and events coordinator, who's sitting next to me, because in the last week, I think I forwarded him 5 requests from different companies who wanted to, from different charities who we've worked with in the past, who are looking for some kind of special support for something. And, you know, it's in our DNA. It's part of who we are. We've always been part of the community in New York. And, you know,
Yes. Yeah. It's everyone wants a little piece of peanut butter. It's a uniter, not a divider, right?
Exactly.
To borrow a horrible quote. So any chance we'll see, you know, peanut butter shops, Peanut Butter & Co. shops popping up in other parts of the country, or you're going to kind of hang tight to your East Coast roots?
You know, never say never. It's always possible. We get asked quite a bit from different people that are interested in, you know, helping take our concept, our restaurant concept, into other places. We've never found one of those situations that, you know, quite fit yet, but you never know. We're always, you know, looking for fun and exciting ways to spread the word of peanuts, peanut butter, and Peanut Butter and Company.
Yeah, so I say in the meantime, you can find Peanut Butter and Co. in your, most likely in your local supermarket, or you can visit their website, ilovepeanutbutter.com. If you're lucky enough to live in New York City, you can head over to the West Village and try one of those sandwiches, or follow them on Twitter at Peanut Butter Co. Lee, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to kick off the month of peanut celebration, and we look forward to having you back in the studio soon.
My pleasure.
As always, this, like all 30 of our live weekly programs, can be found on iTunes as a free download. You can find us on Stitcher Smart Radio, or visit our website, www.heritageradionetwork.org. We are a member-supported organization, so if you like what you hear, we hope you'll click that donate button and become a member today. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.